Nice to see everyone here. Franklin said it would be warm, so I better take my jacket off. Tonight, I'll ask you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. And the theme tonight, or what we're looking at tonight, is faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. And is that just for the unsaved? Or is it also for the saved? It's also for the saved, isn't it? Faith and obedience. We know that it says three times in the epistles, the just shall live by faith. In the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, and in the book of Hebrews. The just, that is the righteous, shall live by faith. And how about obedience? Because you know what? Faith and obedience go together. Faith and obedience go together. Reading in at verse 46, or let's read verse 1, or let's read verse 20 of chapter 6 just for a moment. This is the beginning of the Beatitudes, by the way. Look what it says in verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes, that is the Lord Jesus, on his disciples. And he said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And so on, and right down. And you know what? It's a good thing for a person to read those Beatitudes. Look what it says in verse 46. After all that he said, it says, love your enemies, not to judge people, all those things in those Beatitudes. Look what it says in verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Wow. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Who was he talking to? Disciples, wasn't he? And other people besides. And then we use this parable, which we use as a gospel text. I've used it many times. It says, whosoever cometh to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to him whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house, or his life really in this case, and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And the rock, of course, is Christ. And when the floods arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We should be obedient people. Turn over to James chapter 1 and verse 22. We all know the verses very well. James chapter 1. And verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22, the test of obedience in these verses from 22 to 25. The test of obedience, listen to what it says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen to these words, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that is the word of God, which is like a mirror, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed or in his work. People, you get up in the morning, and every one of us get up, and we look in a mirror, don't we? And some of us, as we get older, we have to look and stay there a little bit longer because we got a lot more work to do. Thank the good Lord, I was at getting my hair cut about a couple of weeks ago, and it was a brand new hairdresser. She must have thought I was a sheep, and she sheared me. She must have thought I would look better with the hair cut right low. Good job, I had 2 weeks to let it grow back in. But you know, as we get older, and anyone, we get up in the morning, we go to the mirror first thing. But if we take a fleeting glance at the mirror and then we walk away and we forget what we look like, let's say we had some dirt on our face, or we got the hair flying all over the place, messed up. We buttoned the shirt in the wrong buttonholes and so on. We walked away from the mirror forgetting what we look like. And what the Lord is using here is this is a basically an application. When we take a fleeting glance at the Word of God, which a lot of us do, myself included, I have. But you know what? I thank God when I was newly saved, I had an old Irishman who kept on my tail, if you will. Because as soon as you saw him coming, and he came to my place quite a bit, or to where I workplace, he would greet you and talk along. The first thing he would ask you, he says, "So where'd you read this morning, brother?" But he didn't stop there. He says, "So what did you read this morning?" You know what? It's good to have someone to hold you accountable. Because a lot of us, we're reading the Word of God out of duty, aren't we? Because someone told we should read. It is easy to read the Bible casually or because of the sense of duty without being affected by what we read. We see what we ought to be when we read the Word of God, but quickly forget and live as if we were already perfect or spiritually mature. This type of self-satisfaction prevents spiritual growth. And God wants us to grow, doesn't He? He wants us to develop. And so I'm going to give everyone here who comes to this assembly on Wednesday night, we're going to start the little book of Galatians. How many chapters? 6. How long will we be in that little book? Probably anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks or so. I'm going to challenge you, not because it's from me, to read the little book of Galatians at least 25 times in that 12 weeks. And you know what? If you do that, not because I asked you or suggested it, I'm not going to ask you again, but I'll tell you one thing, you'll start learning what that little book is all about. And you put a little theme on each chapter, at the end of each chapter. Read the chapter. And don't just read one chapter, read the whole 6 of them. It takes you about 25 minutes to read 6 chapters. And do that about 25 times. And you know what? You will know what's going on in the little book of. And not just 25 times. That's not a magic number. It could be 50 times. It could be 15 times. You'll know what's happening in the little book of Galatians. And that's how God wants us to do. He wants us to look into the Word of God. And then, of course, we're not just to read it, not just to study it, but we're to apply it to our own lives. What did I get out of that book that applies to me? What should I apply in my life? Obedience. We're going to look at two men in a few moments. Two men in the Old Testament. One was Noah, and the other one was called King Saul. One was extremely obedient to the Word of God, and the other was not. He was half obedient. And we know what the result is there. And I ask myself, I'm not picking on anybody here, I look at myself. I was up to Quebec there a little while ago got to know a buddy better than I usually, Mark Gulliwa. There you go. Anyway, he's a unique, I'm not going to go there. He's a unique young man. And in the last little while, he has taken up a real desire to pray. And that young man is gathering all the men he could possibly can, probably 3 or 4 times a day, and he's praying. And this man is laying on the floor. He is earnest. He's sincere. But I said to Mark, I said, "So where are you reading at?" Well, I'm not reading as much as I should be. I said, "So let's start doing something. Let's look at the little book of Philippians, 4 chapters." I said, "And let's see, we can read it 25 times or more in the next little while." So every once in a while, I was just talking to him yesterday, half an hour. And so I say, "So Mark, what'd you get in that chapter? Someone to be accountable to, right?" And so we start doing that little book of Philippians, a beautiful little book. It's a book of joy, and it's a tremendous book. And so we start looking at the themes of some of the themes of the chapters. Chapter 1. Paul had a desire that the Christians there would have a Christ-filled life. And as we go through to chapter 2, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about His humility. We see there a Christ-formed life. In chapter 3, we see a Christ-focused life. And in chapter 4, we see a Christ-fed life. And you say, "Well, where'd you get that?" Well, you look in the book yourself. There's also other themes and topics you can use for those chapters. That's what you do when you study just a little book. Don't stop doing your other reading that you do besides. And guess what? You know what? The Lord will bless you. He will bless you. And in prayer, Mark is great for encouraging me to pray more because I haven't been praying that much. Or not what? And you know what? If we have a relationship with the Lord, you have a relationship with your wife, with your best friend, you communicate, don't you? And how do we communicate to God? Is through prayer, isn't it? And you know what? If we're reading the Word of God, we can communicate a lot better, can't we? And then how does He communicate to us? It's through the Word of God. And so it's a communication, isn't it? Just a circle. God speaks to us, we speak to Him. God speaks to us. And when we pray, after a while we pray, the Word of God comes out through our prayer. And for young men, young women, when we're praying with other people and so on, you will hear what you've been studying in your prayer. And that's why how God gets control of your mind. And then your mind cannot be filled with all this other stuff that's going on in the world. Read chapter 4 of Philippians. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are honest and all those things. There's six of them there, six words. And you know what? That is a resume of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness, purity, and so on. And that's where we get it, is from the Word of God. The mirror, we look in the mirror, we see a reflection of ourselves, but we look in the Word of God, we see a reflection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, God's ultimate purpose is that we would be conformed to the image of His dear Son, down here. As we develop, little by little, from glory to glory, as we look into the mirror. Again, in Corinthians, it speaks about the mirror, looking into the Word of God, and allowing the Spirit of God, which is we are indwelt with, if you're saved, and we are changed from glory to glory. The little word change is right there in that verse. We are changed from glory to glory, little by little, day by day, as we get into the Word of God. And we quote that verse, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what? You must be eating food physically, something that's going to sustain you, something that's going to give you energy and so on, isn't it? Same thing when we're reading the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that is obedience. We need to obey what God has to say. That's not just for the unsaved, but for you and I. And so ask yourself, don't let me ask you, ask yourself, so how am I doing in my Christian life? Am I reading God's word? Am I listening to what He says? And am I being obedient? Am I applying it to my life? Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look at a man who is a tremendous picture of a man of obedience. And we know the story well, but we're going to look at this man and just think about his character, his conduct, and his conversation, and how God used this man, and why he's written in the book of Hebrews. He's throughout the Bible, and we see him here in Genesis chapter 6. He's a tremendous picture of a man who was obedient to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read in at verse 5, just as before. This is what the Lord looked down, and this is what He saw. And if the Lord is looking down, and He is looking down tonight, today, I wonder what He sees in this world. Probably a lot the same as we see in this picture right here. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. That is quite a thing to know that God has a feelings like that. It repented the Lord. That's amazing, isn't it? And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Look at verse 8. Here's we starting to see a little bit of the character of Noah, his character, his conduct, and so on. And there's about six or seven things here we're going to see about Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Number one, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you're saved tonight, you've found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Saved by grace. These are the generations of Noah. Here's another thing. Noah was a just man. That means he was righteous. He was a just man, and he was perfect, or he was upright, or he was spiritually mature. He was sincere in all his generations, and Noah walked with God. So there's three things. He was found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was righteous. He was sincere, and he walked with God. Four things right there. Listen what it says. And Noah begat three sons and so on. And if you went over to, turn over to chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see it's something else about Noah there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith, so he was a man of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So here we see he was a man of faith. A man of faith. And because of his faith, his great trust in the Lord, he built an ark. God told him to do something, and he did it. He didn't even question him. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments. If God asked you to build something that size in your backyard, what would you say? It never rained up to that point. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, three stories. How many doors did the Lord ask them to put in it? There's one. How many doors would you put in something like that? We have a building out here close to where Sears used to be. Remember they had put the cranes on, used it for putting the roof on? I don't know how long it is, but I'd say something around 250, 300 feet long. Now you think of something almost twice as long as that, almost as high, that is four story. And God asked him to do that, and no one ever questioned him. You see what faith is? And you see what obedience is. Because look over in chapter 6, at the end of chapter 6 and verse 22. Thus did Noah according to, look at that little word, all that God commanded him, so did he. And so I ask myself, God asked me to do many things in His Word of God. Many things. Maybe just coming to meetings. Maybe to morning meeting. Maybe be baptized. Maybe other things God is asking us to do, or He is, and He will not force us to do it. But here's a man who was obedient to God's Word. Look at verse 5 of chapter 7. And Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. Let's go back and see what the Lord asked him to do. Verse 12 of chapter 6. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of the flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. You notice there is one kind of wood also. How long would it take, or how much work would it take to go and find enough gopher wood to build this thing 450 feet long, three stories high, 75 feet wide? That'd be pretty selective, wouldn't it? Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Again, approximately 450 feet long, approximately 75 feet wide, and approximately 45 feet high. A window. How many windows would you put in a place that long? You say, man, that'd be kind of a dark, dingy place, wouldn't it? Look what it says. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and it shall be a cubit. In a cubit shalt thou finish it above. That's not a very big window, is it? A cubit. Isn't that 18 inches? Thou shalt finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. Now let me ask you again. It never had rained up to this point. And God speaks to a man who found grace in his eyes. A man who had faith. A man who took God at his word. God was asking him to do something that just did not make sense to the normal person. But we don't see here one place where Noah questioned God, did he? And God told him to build this huge thing out in the backyard. That big. How many sons did he have? Three. I wonder, did he have to hire some of the men of the city or town I'm sure he did. Could you imagine some of the size of some of the timbers that would be in that thing? 45 feet high. How would he get them up there? No chainsaws, no skill saws. 3 stories, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. And we think how it'd have to be all designed to float. And God asked him to do that, and he did it. Sometimes we read these stories and we don't think what really was put into them. And to think of the man who believed God. Who believed God. Took God at his word. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, again it mentions Noah. And he spared not, that is God, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He was also a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. So we say it was approximately 120 years. We read about that in the time that that boat was built. It may have been built before 120 years. It may have sit there for a bit. I'd have no idea. But that's what the Bible says about 120 years. And it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Does that mean he preached every day audibly from his mouth? Probably not. Remember we said about Noah and we talked about his character, his conduct, and his conversation. Noah was a person that these people were looking at. They were wicked people. Some of them were probably even working for him. And he, you know what his message was? He did what God asked him to do. He did what God asked him to do. Noah stands as an example of faith and obedience. His faith, as we read in the Old Testament, goes far beyond human rationale. That it does not even make sense to the normal mind. Noah could not see anything beyond his own trust. But that was enough for him. His life was a life of believing and obeying, and his obedience can be summed up in two areas. Noah, number one, he responded to God's word, and number two, he rebuked the world. And his message was the first day, the first tree that he cut down for that was the beginning of his message. And every day after, he kept cutting down trees. That was a message, wasn't it? It was obedience to God, but it was a message to those people. Because I'm sure that he did speak to them audibly too. He said, you know what? God is going to judge his world. There's going to be a great flood. And people are going to be destroyed. And I'm going to build an ark of safety. And if you will believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and come inside, you will be safe. I wonder how they reacted. I know you all know right fast. Oh, you crazy old coot. What are you talking about? He would probably be called insane, wouldn't he? Dumb, stupid, everything else. And yet he did what God asked him to do. You see what obedience is? And sometimes we go through the Word of God and we see, ooh, I don't like that. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3. And Paul says this, that I may know him. What does that mean? The power of his resurrection. I may have that power of his resurrection within me. Have the fellowship of his suffering. Being conformed to his death. What does all those things mean? Study those, because I'm studying on them, working on them now. Because sometimes they scare you when you look at those things. Paul did enter into fellowship of his suffering in a small way, didn't he? Read Corinthians about being stoned and being whipped 3 times and so on. But that's what Paul wanted. And the Lord even told him when he first brought him to the earth, he said, you will suffer for my cause or for my case. And we think of those words in that little Philippians chapter 2. It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So what kind of an attitude, what kind of a person is that would say those things? Someone who had a Christ-filled life. Someone who had a Christ-formed life. Someone who has a Christ-focused life. Someone who had a Christ-fed life. And that's what God will do to every single one of us if we desire that. God will not beat us over the head. He'll not make us do it. But it's all there. And he gives us all the utensils. He gives us the Bible. We are filled with the Spirit of God who can be our teacher. He has all kinds of people around us who are spiritually mature. elders and all kinds of people who know the Word of God. And we says in Ephesians, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus on the good works. God wants to work in us. He wants to work through us. He's already done a work for us. And God wants us to be obedient. And the moment we are obedient and we follow the Word of God, God, then we grow spiritually, don't we? And God will give us a little more. God knew this man, Noah. He knew he was a man of faith. He knew he would obey Him. And God blessed this man called Noah. And He saved him and his family. He had a life of obedience. Again, we read that verse in chapter 6. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Hebrews chapter 7 said, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, couldn't even see them, couldn't understand them, yet he moved with fear. The word fear is reverence and respect. Reverential respect for who God was. That is another very important thing for you and I. Reverential respect for who God is. He prepared an ark because he reverenced the Lord to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world. That is the second thing. He condemned the world. Why? By obeying God. Why? Because of his character, his conduct, and his conversation. What he preached was the very thing he acted out in his life. He was obedient to God. God asked him to do something that was absolutely way off the charts, and yet he did it because God asked him. He took God at his word. God said it. That settled it. I believe it. And that was Noah's life. What a tremendous man he was. Noah was a man of obedience. Noah believed God so much that he built an ark. Noah built and preached for possibly 120 years. I don't know about you, but after a few years, I might start wondering if God really knew what he was doing. And I looked at myself and I said, wow, if God asked me to do something like that, I probably wouldn't last too long. I don't know about you. I probably wouldn't last too long. He responded to God's word. Some people believe God. They run out and they start. But that's about it. They never really get any further than that. Noah continued in his obedience. Noah continued in his obedience. The Lord Jesus said that this was a mark of the true child of his. John chapter 8 and verse 31. It says this, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word. What was he saying? If you obey my word. Not just to hear it, but to be doers of it. Not just to look into the mirror, but to clean up what's going on in your life. Say, Lord, help me. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, but we need to call upon him. We need to have faith that he can do that. And he can do that. So how do we hear people in the Bible saying, increase my faith. Well, how do we increase our faith? Is getting into the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and letting it fill our minds. And as Paul would say, that I may know him, letting the attitude and the characteristics of Christ be reproduced in us so that they flow out. And people can see them. And that's what we build, and we're building a character. Our character is what we are known of or known by. Our conduct is what we do and say. And our conversation, of course, is what we say, but it also means our whole manner of life, our whole 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And the people can come back because they would come back and they'd see this man, Noah, 120 years, he was the same Noah. He was still building that ark. He was a man of obedience. And God blessed him. And some people say, well, you know what? I don't want to go that far. And that's fine. Well, that's why God has given us all a free will choice. We will be just exactly what we want to be. Noah being warned. God spoke, Noah was absolutely convinced of the authority which lay behind the command to him. One warning was enough. It says one warning. It is important for us to understand the word fear in order to understand what Noah did. The Greek word means reverence or to hold in high esteem. We normally use the word to suggest being afraid. We don't have to be afraid of God. Noah obeyed because he reverenced God's word. He treated the message of God with great care and prepared the ark for saving, not only for himself, but for his family. He had care for others. What would you do if God told you to build a huge ship in the middle of the wilderness? Not only that, but also that the world would know, would be covered with a flood. It had never rained up to that point. One of the greatest acts of obedience took place when Noah chopped down the first tree. Noah was a man of obedience, so he began to build. Thus did Noah according to all the things which God commanded him to do. I keep repeating that verse again because it was all that God asked him to do. And Noah obeyed for 120 years. Not for one day, not for one year, but for 120 years. What were the grounds of his obedience? The word of God. The spoken word of God. That should be ours too. That should be our grounds for obedience, the word of God. He believed that God meant what he said about judgment and what he said about his promise. Noah obeyed God to the very letter. He did not pick and choose his points of obedience. Some people want to believe God about his promise, but not about his judgment. We must believe both equally. So Noah believed God about the safety inside the ark and the imminent destruction outside of the ark of the world. He believed God totally. That is, he was obedient to the Lord. He was rebuked the world. It is true that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, as we already read in 2 Peter. But just how did he preach? By building the ark. That was his sermon. Every time a passerby saw him, they heard him chop down a tree or watched him nail another plank. They were hearing and seeing a sermon enacted. Not even the carpenters assisting Noah accepted his message of the coming judgment. Noah must have hired many of the men, or at least some of the men of the town, to help him and his sons, because they would never have been able to carry those massive timbers alone. But though they helped him build it, they were not saved by it. Likewise, today people are helping in around the church or church building or around the believers, but they love to be in the environment. But you know, when the rubber hits the road, they will not be saved. We heard John speaking about that this morning. Lot's wife, taken out of Sodom, even by divine help, angels had her by the hand. And yet she turned around and looked back. That's quite amazing, isn't it? And that's what happens in people's lives. Some people love to be in the environment of a Christian, say, because it's peaceful. Something may spring up in their lives that they, you know, I enjoy this. I love the singing. We go to the Mount over here tomorrow morning. It used to be a place for all totally nuns. We have about 6, 8 sometimes 10 retired nuns come to our meetings, Robbie McGregor and myself. And you know what? We sing songs, and they love these old gospel songs. But how many of those people in that come to that meeting are saved? I don't know how many. I don't know if there's any. But they love to sing the songs. They love the atmosphere. And then we preach for about 15 minutes, and a couple of the old nuns say, my word, I don't know how you get so much out of the Word of God. We never heard this stuff before. And we're no great teachers or large preachers, but they enjoy it. And so there's people who enjoy being in environments like Christian environments, but yet they're not saved. And so we see here in this same environment, Noah building the ark, he probably had men who were working with him, and probably when they went back home at night, they would be laughing or talking with their friends. Oh, he's a crazy old bird, but boy, that's a big boat, isn't it? I don't think it'll ever save anybody, but you know what? Gives us employment, doesn't it? Yeah, we get some money, return, good life, good way to live. And isn't that the same way in the world today? Genesis chapter 5, or chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us what kind of people they were. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Each one was vile on the inside. And God reads the heart, and he still does today. We look on the outward appearance, and God does not. He looks on the heart. The heart, of course, involves the mind, the will, and our feelings towards God. And God already knows. He knew Noah. He knew all these other people. And he knows you and he knows me. I can't fool God. I can stand up and carry a big Bible and I can sound like it looks like and sound like I'm doing great. But God knows what's going on in my life. And God wants me to be obedient. And the more obedience we are, more obedient we are to his word, the more he'll give us, the more enlightenment he'll open our eyes. We'll understand more as the Lord, as we are obedient to his word. Every man has enough knowledge of God so that he is without excuse. And we see that in the book of Romans chapter 1. We see it in verses 19 to 20. The people knew the truth, but they just rejected it. Noah's life stood out in bold relief as an open rebuke to the men of his time. Is that very different today? Noah preached and the people laughed as people now snicker at the proclamation of the gospel. And we'll see some of that probably down at the exhibition. People making fun and so on. And we see that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, making fun and saying all kinds of things about the word of God. We also think about some man, and we go quickly there to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Turn there with you, please. A man who God also gave specific instructions to. That is 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15, Saul's incomplete obedience. Saul's incomplete obedience. And you could put in this chapter, in verse 3, we see the stern command. We're just going to read some of those verses because we don't have much time. Let's just read verse 1. Samuel, of course, was the prophet through whom the Lord was speaking to Saul. Also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken, or listen, thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Verse 3, now go and smite Amalek. And we know they were enemies of the Israelites. They hated the Israelites. And utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So there is a stern commandment. The Lord told them through Samuel what he should do. And then we see a sinful compromise. Look at verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag. He was the wicked king of the Amalekites, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. It would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, something was no good, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, look at verse 11, it repenteth me, the Lord says, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And then we see in verse 13, self-complacency of Saul. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And sometimes as Christians, we say, you know what, I'm saved. I read the Bible. I go to Charlottetown Bible Chapel. I do this and I do that. I know certain scriptures. But are we obeying what God tells us to do? Are we obedient to the Word of God? Are we applying it to our lives? Is other people see it in our lives? Is that change in our character, our conduct, and our conversation? Because we look into the mirror and we clean up the things that are not very clean, and we're walking with God. We're righteous. We're right with God. And so on and so forth. So we see self-complacency of this man who God had told through Samuel to do a specific work. And he basically says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord in the last part of verse 13. Verse 14, and Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep? There were sheep in the background bleating in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He's passing the buck. Remember what Adam did in the Garden of Eden, right? This woman you have given me, Lord. But God gave the responsibility to Adam, didn't he? God gave the responsibility to this king, authority, someone who should be ruling. And look what he did. Go down to verse 18. And the Lord, Samuel speaking to Saul, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly under the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of the Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He still is arguing about what he has done, and thinks what he has done is right in the sight of God. And look at verse 21, but the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen. He is trying to pass the buck. The chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And we read verse 24, the said confession. Finally, Saul comes to himself, if you will. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Are we afraid of our friends, the people around us? Maybe our parents, our children. We don't want to live for the Lord the way we should. That's what Saul was saying. These people, I'm supposed to be in control, but these people, basically, I wanted to listen to them. They swayed me. They influenced me. And we need to be careful of that. And we can go to verse 26 to 28, and we'll close with this. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And you say, so really, what bad did Samuel do? What bad did Saul do? He did most of what the Lord asked him to do. He was obedient in most of what God asked him to do. And was God pleased with that? No, he wasn't. And so you know what? I ask myself, how obedient am I to the Word of God in my Christian life? And is it changing my character, my conduct, and my conversation, my whole manner of life, or what comes out of my mouth? Because that is what people are watching. You know, those people for 120 years watched that man called Noah. They watched him. But he was consistent. He continued in obedience. And he fulfilled what God asked him to do. He was obedient. And God blessed him. So we can take what we want from that. But the bottom line is, God wants obedience in our lives. Not just to be saved. Because sometimes after we get saved, there is a bit of complacency sometimes. And I can speak about that myself. Because sometimes you start learning a little bit of the Word of God and you say, well, you know, I know quite a bit now. I can sort of slack off a bit. I can memorize a few verses. I can quote it with the best of them. But I'm reading the Word of God. And you ask some people what they read, and I certainly don't want like putting people on the spot ever, because I don't want them to put me on the spot. And sometimes you have asked people, so what did you read? They said, well, I read 4 chapters today. And they're quite happy about that. And then you say, so what did you read? What was in those 4 chapters? Well, you know, John 3:16, the great verse that we can always come back to, right? But whatever they're reading in Galatians. So what did you learn in the first 4 chapters? What did you learn in the first chapter? What about the first 10 verses? What about the first 2 verses? Because you know what? If you find something in the first 2 verses, you can camp on that for a long time if you want. But the thing is, you enjoy it and we start learning and then we start applying it to our lives. God will open up the rest of the book for us and we learn a whole lot more. If we're obedient to His Word. I challenge you to read Galatians through as many times as you possibly can before we finish the 6 chapters. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou art a God who loves us, a God who has made provision for us in salvation. You gave Your best. You gave Your Son. Your Son gave His life that we might be set free, that we might have everlasting life, that we would be called children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. God has a purpose and a plan for us, and we are here in this world to glorify Him, His name, and His Son. And Father, may we be examples, may we be like Noah, and may we have a desire to be like Noah and many of the other men, Abraham and Moses and so many people in the Old Testament and New Testament. All we have to do is read in the book of Hebrews, people of faith, people who believed their God. And Father, not just to get their names in the Bible, but Father, they were people who were examples of people of faith, people of obedience. And Father, we pray that each one of us would have a desire to please You. Thy Word says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Father, may we be those who seek You. May we be those like Mary at Your feet and listening to Your Word. Help us, Father, to grow, develop. Help us, Father, to love one another. Help us to encourage one another and to help each other to understand the Word of God. We thank Thee, Father, for each individual here tonight, each home represented. We pray that You would take us home in safety. And, Father, bless each person here. And, Father, may the Spirit of God, as You would have it, may it convict us. And, Father, may we apply the Word of God to our own lives as we go from one day to another. Part us with Thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it. In the worthy name of Your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.